broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
This lady has been hanging over 20 years. This year we put a different dress.
It was pure shock. I was just, that's all you can say.
And I met with Mac Wedman in June 22,000.
Reason 581 Jeep has an orbit of just about 37 days.
I forgot he was black tonight.
Mike, I felt this thrill going up my leg.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we take you through the looking glass and beyond, going places other talk shows would probably like to go but can't. And welcome to our program. And if at any time Charles or anybody hears the fan going, man, let me know. But I failed to admit, we had 113 degrees in Los Angeles yesterday. I don't know what it was today. It seemed like it was cooler here. I live, and our studios are up the coast from Los Angeles a few miles. We're on the beach here, so it's generally about 20 degrees cooler here than it is downtown. But it was 113 degrees, which my my informants tell me shattered the old record by about 6 degrees for downtown L.A. I've been in that kind of weather before, in the desert. I've been in 115 degrees. I've played golf in 115 degrees. You can do a lot in 115 degrees. You can play a round of golf if you got enough water and you got enough sunblock and you got a hat on. You can play around 18 holes of golf in 115 degrees. I wouldn't recommend it, although the prices can't be beat. This time of year, forget it, man. You could go out and play PGA West back in the day for $50 or $40 a round. You can't get on that place for less than 100 and a half, maybe $200 during the season. 877-876-PHIL is the number on our show tonight. We're not going to talk about anything even remotely having to do with weather or golf. We're going to talk with Margaret Gray this evening, and we're going to discuss with her what's been going on in New York with Mayor Bloomberg and a teacher that admitted she was at one time a hooker. Later on, Professor Emery Clayton joins us, and we'll discuss it being Halloween. There's usually one thing to discuss at Halloween on talk radio, and that's the color of the mannequin that you have hanging from your tree. So all of that is ahead tonight, and stick around for that. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of our show right now, live streaming audio of the show. We've got 3 brand new Classic Phil podcasts. We got a brand new uncensored pre-show rant available there. And, of course, all of our archives and our daily podcasts as well of the show. Our affiliate spotlight tonight in Portland, KXFD. KXFD 970 AM in Portland, Oregon. And in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, WTBC 1230 AM. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Radio Network. We're going to have Margaret Gray on in just a moment. But in New York City, Mayor Bloomberg personally asked to yank the former sex worker turned teacher from her elementary school classroom last week. Bloomberg said that the city is investigating its legal rights regarding this Bronx art teacher, Melissa Petro, stopping short of saying that she would immediately be fired. The revelation occurred when the 30-year-old wrote an online article in the Huffington Post on September the 7th criticizing popular online classified Craigslist for removing its adult services section, which carried sex-related advertising. She wrote under her real name, and the post was published the same day she was granted tenure at the school. From October of 2006 to January 2007, I accepted money in exchange for sexual services I provided to men I met online in what was then called the erotic services section of Craigslist.org. Now, this is an elementary school teacher. Elementary school is from first grade to fifth or sixth grades. I wrote my own ads, she says, screened my own prospective dates, decided on my own what I would and would not do for money, and she says, quote, best of all, I kept every penny that I earned. She said that she used Craigslist to meet men, and it provided a simple, familiar form through which I could do my business. Friday night, when I was informed that of the situation of this teacher saying that she had been a sex worker, said Bloomberg, I think was the term she might have used, sex worker, I said, well, you know, tell her that she's being removed from the classroom. In the blog post earlier in the summer, Petro mentioned a sympathetic administrator who suggested she publish under a pseudonym, though she ultimately did not. And this all had to do with that Craigslist deciding that they were no longer going to use that sex services section. Margaret Gray is a nationally syndicated columnist for the Dicklin Syndicate. She writes, A Little Bird Told Me. It's a very interesting story, isn't it, Margaret?
Well, it's fascinating from a couple of points of view, Phil. First of all, it's very interesting to, and I think it's a little exhilarating to see a woman publishing under her own name and saying for all, you know, all to see, yes, I did do this. Yes, I did. My name is Melissa Petro. Yes, I was a sex worker. Yes, I did charge money to provide men with sexual services. Yes, I did all of it. I am now an elementary school teacher. I am a woman in America in the 21st century. I am attempting to survive. I did what I needed to do. I am seeing my dreams through. I think there is something rather exhilarating about it.
Well, then I take it you are against the removal of this woman?
I think the mayor has a very tough call. I would not remove her. I would keep her. I think Bloomberg has a very tough call, although I think he's wrong. I think he's being very sexist. I think he is bigoted, I think, in his attitude. I think he automatically thinks, well, she's a woman. Why can't she go out and get any kind of a job that the rest of us can get? Well, hello, she is a woman, and it's completely different in how well we are able to access some of these things. So I think that Bloomberg is being an almost remarkably bold bigot, remarkably emboldened sexist.
Well, if you were the mayor of New York, I mean, you're calling this man a sexist and a bigot, what would you do?
It's not a fair question. What would I do? I would probably do what he's doing, but I'm not the mayor of New York. I'm a columnist. I'm a critic. And Bloomberg has a lot to answer for. He's being a misogynistic, bigoted sexist. I could easily see him being impeached for this.
And yet, if you were the mayor of New York, you'd do the same thing. I don't understand that. Let's move past that for a moment.
I'm a woman. I'm the mother of a small boy. I'm the wife of a husband who is now retired. I am the sole support of my family. As a woman, I've got to do what I've got to do. I cannot afford to stand there and take some sort of a moral stand to make myself feel good so that people will pat me on the head and say, Margaret, that was a wonderful thing. You're fired. No. Women cannot afford that kind of self-indulgence. Men, on the other hand, call the shots. And so a man can afford to stand there and say, I'm going to hold the line. I'm going to let this woman keep her job because that is the moral thing to do. And so because a man can do that, and because Bloomberg didn't do that, he is a misogynist. He is really almost supernaturally gutless. Because
But what does that mean? You know,
it's amazing that he could not muster more courage than he did. It's almost science fiction how gutless he is.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, talking with Margaret Gray about Mayor Bloomberg expressing the opinion that this so-called hooker-turned-teacher, she's described as a hooker, and I guess that's the technical term in the New York Daily News, he wants her out of the classroom. And I take it, Margaret, the opinion you're expressing here is you don't think she should be.
No, I don't think she should be.
Why not?
Well, I think that, Phil, this is a marvelous opportunity for young girls to not so much emulate a woman as to at least look up to a woman who wanted to be a business owner, who took the bold step that she did to be that business owner, who suffered these slings and arrows, who took her life into her hands, who risked God knows what, in order that she would start a business as, yes, a sex worker, a sex services worker, so that she could have enough money to go to school and become a teacher. It is an amazing story, and it's a story that should look at a little bit more closely and say, I know what I thought a sex worker was. I know what I thought a prostitute was. But my God, look at this woman, Melissa, this young lady, Melissa Petro. Look at the guts. Look at what she risked, disease. She risked being assaulted. She did what she had to do. And I think she is an absolutely outstanding role model for young women.
And well, what about your own daughter? If you had, I know you only have Jason J. DelMonico. What about your daughter? Would you say to your daughter, I want you to look up to this Melissa Petro. She was a prostitute turned teacher. But I think now, you know, look at her. I want you to emulate her.
Well, Phil, you're talking about something here. You're, that's apples and oranges. I'm talking to your listeners right now.
No, I'm talking about you and any daughter that you would have.
Well, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different, Phil. I'm in the media. I have the means to help my daughter set up her own business. And
No. I'm saying, for all things being equal, if you were not in the media, if you were just, you know, you and your daughter is with you, and you are saying to all these other mothers, look at this woman, Melissa Petro, what a marvelous role model she is, what a woman to look up to, even though she was a sex worker, would you recommend that for your own daughter?
Of course I would. You're talking about my own daughter.
Why not?
There's a big difference, Phil, between any daughter that I would have and the women. You have to understand something. I'm not holding myself up. I'm not saying I'm better than anyone. But there is a difference between the daughter of a Margaret Gray and the daughters of a lot of the people that are listening to you right now, and I'll tell you why. I am in the media. I have a reputation to uphold. If my daughter becomes known as a prostitute, it redounds very negatively on the family. My husband continues to produce television in Hollywood. He is an attorney, though he's retired.
But you said that this is a very admirable thing for any young woman to do, to emulate this woman. Yes, she's a sex worker, but look at what she did with the money she earned as a sex worker. Young women emulating this can do much, much worse. Why not your own daughter? You're recommending it for other women's daughters. Why not yours?
I think I've answered your question, and I think I've answered it very, very well.
You're saying that your daughter, not for your daughter, because of your reputation.
Phil, yes, what I do is very public. What my husband does is very public. I probably have more education than the average woman. There are more doors that are going to open for me and my own daughter. My husband and I both have an enormous amount of money. There's no need for my daughter to degrade herself as a hooker.
Oh, so your daughter would be degrading herself, but another woman's daughter would not be.
I think you're being very unfair, and I think you're doing it on purpose. I think you're doing this to...
No, Ms. Gray, I'm not doing anything on purpose. You said that to emulate this woman who is a prostitute would be a worthy thing for other young women, because look what she did with the money she made as a prostitute. She went to school and she became a teacher, but not your daughter.
I think you're... Yes, I'm saying not my daughter, but not because I think I'm better than anyone. I'm sure you understand. I am recommending this for other women's daughters because of who I assume they are. But my own daughter would not be good for that. I would not want my own daughter doing that. And I've given you the reason.
And you also said because of who they are, meaning my female listeners. Who are they?
They are not people in the media. They don't have a daily exposure to the kinds of people that I'm exposed to, the kinds of people my husband is exposed to, the kinds of people my daughter is exposed to. My daughter can't afford to be a slut on a telephone. And
so that's what this woman was, a slut on a telephone.
For a very, very good cause.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're speaking with Margaret Gray. She recommends that other women's daughters become sex workers, because look at what Melissa Petro did. She was a sex worker. She saved her money. She became a teacher. And this is a woman to emulate and a woman to look up to. Just one problem. She wouldn't have her own daughter doing it. That's... different story for her. Her own daughter, of course not. My daughter has bigger horizons. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You really love to twist things, don't you?
I didn't twist anything.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
In New York City, Mayor Bloomberg has asked that a teacher, an art teacher in the Bronx, step down from her position in the elementary school that she teaches at because she revealed in a Huffington Post blog that in 2006-2007, the woman was a prostitute. And she advertised in the erotic services section of Craigslist. And she talks about this as a good thing. Margaret Gray has joined us. Margaret, you, at the beginning of our interview, you said that Mayor Bloomberg was a misogynist and a sexist and a bigot for wanting to fire this woman, and I understand. You also said that that the woman was someone to emulate, young girls to emulate. Are you recommending, then, that other people's daughters, not your own...
Let's be clear about something. I don't have a daughter. This was a hypothetical that you brought to the table that I think you brought to the table on purpose to put a more negative spin on what I'm saying.
Well, no, I just wanted to know, to what extent are you recommending this? Are you saying that this is something to recommend to other people's daughters, but not your own? So, you know, I think that's pretty plain, isn't it?
First of all, this woman teaches in a public school. My daughter, as my son does, I would go to a private school. There's a difference. You have a lot of public school kids. They don't have a lot of choices.
Well, not public school kids aren't necessarily poor.
I understand that public school kids are not necessarily poor. What I'm trying to say is that there are young girls out there who would benefit from the experience of this woman starting her own business, working her way up to her dream of being a teacher. And am I saying that other women's daughters should be prostitutes? Are you pressing me to answer a question like that?
Yes, I am.
It would seem that in the short term, that is something for some women to consider, yes.
And your own daughter?
I think I've answered your question. The answer is no. My own daughter would not need that. My own daughter would not need that because of the doors that her father and I can open up for her. Now, Phil, I think it's very unfair.
So, you know, Margaret, just so we know, you have you've answered my questions, and you've answered them honestly, and I appreciate that. But I don't think there's any a way of you arguing yourself off of the point that you have set yourself up to say my daughter is better than other people's daughters.
No, I did not say that. No, I did not say she's better. I said my daughter has a different set of circumstances. All right.
Are there other girls that would have different sets of circumstances that would not need to become sex workers?
Are you talking about in this woman's school? I don't think so. Let's cut to the chase here, okay, Phil, because this is what this is about. You're apparently a Mayor Bloomberg supporter.
No, I'm not a Mayor Bloomberg supporter. Not at all.
Well, then what is the point in you pressing me?
I simply asked you if you say that the job of a sex worker is one that can be a step up for a girl, that just like this teacher, young girls can become sex workers, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Why not your own daughter?
I'm not going to have my own daughter. I'm on your radio show right now to tell young girls that there are options for them in this world. I'm presenting this as a very real option. But then you say to me, what about my own daughter? Of course I wouldn't have my own daughter doing that. And
also, it's easier to recommend for someone else's daughter to be a prostitute than it is for your own.
Of course it is. Now, you're asking me, Phil, to answer questions that will make me look, to be perfectly honest, like a horse's ass in the eyes of your listeners. The listeners that you have right now, Phil, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Well, you're not answering.
I'm listening to you.
The listeners you have here right now, their daughters would benefit, perhaps, from becoming, in the short term, prostitutes. My daughter I would kill anyone that recommended my daughter for sex work. I would kill them. I would kill them, and I'd mutilate the corpse. That's how angry I'd be.
But other women's daughters, it's okay.
You asked for an honest answer. I gave you one.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll take some calls this segment for Margaret Gray. It's a topic that has got the, well, at least it's got a teacher and a mayor in the city of New York talking. Mayor Bloomberg wants a woman by the name of Melissa Petro removed from her job as a elementary school art teacher because she admitted to having been a prostitute, basically, and she said that she advertised in the erotic services section of Craigslist. This came about, this blog that she wrote, or article that she wrote for the Huffington Post came about as a result of the Craigslist taking down its sexual, what do they call this anyway, their erotic services section?
Well, it was very unfortunate, Phil. I think Craigslist did a good business there, also provided a service to women who really have no choice. They've got to do what they've got to do. There are a lot of young women that make a lot of money doing that.
And there were some that got killed, too, Margaret. Murdered.
Please understand, Phil, that when you introduce your little dramatic touches to this conversation, it doesn't fool anyone. We are.
There was not a young lady killed in Boston?
There was one young woman murdered as the result of something that happened. I don't know. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a very successful young entrepreneur who...
All right, I don't mean to interrupt you because I want to get to some phone calls, but you're saying a successful entrepreneur, this Melissa Petro, who you feel other girls should emulate, but not your own daughter.
Let's be clear. I don't, and I want to say this to your listeners. I don't have a daughter. Mr. Hendry has maneuvered me into this little conversation and exchange about having a daughter so that you can make me look like I am the mother of a slut, which I am not.
All right, let's talk about you have a son.
Yes, I do.
All right. Would you want your son to do this kind of work?
Well, first of all, he's a boy. He's male. I don't know what you're talking about.
There are young boys that are involved in this kind of work. For gay services.
I'm fully aware of that, Phil. What I'm saying to you is my son would more likely be, if you're forcing me to answer this question...
No, I'm not.
Well, you know what? I want to answer it anyway. My son would more likely be the proprietor of a business like this. If you want to call him a pimp, you can call him a pimp. Because that's what you've been doing tonight, calling people names. The point that I'm making is I would never have a child of mine doing anything that degraded or turned them into something that you'd find in the black hole of Calcutta.
But other girls can.
If this is really unfair.
Other girls can. Other women's daughters can.
This is very unfair. The answer is yes. But I wish you would not push me into these kinds of admissions. Do I want my daughter to be something that you would find in the black hole of Bangkok? No. Would I want my son to be a pimp? No. Would my son be a pimp? Yes. Because he has a natural business aptitude.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Margaret, by the way, whispering, you know...
No, I understand that, Phil, but I've got a little bit of pride.
My audience can still hear you. 877-876-PHIL. In Chapel Hill, North Carolina, here is Kate. Kate, you're on the air here with Margaret Gray. We're talking about Melissa Petro in New York. Go ahead, please.
Okay, first of all, I appreciate your point about why they took this off of Craigslist. It was causing death, okay, number one. Number two, with all the media brought to this now, all the kids are going to wonder, what's a prostitute? Yeah, if it's based on her past, there's going to be a lot of deliberation.
Well, I don't know. I don't think you're familiar with the story. She's a teacher who was a prostitute, used the money from her days as a prostitute to fund her education, and now she's a teacher. I think it's a marvelous story of survival, and I would recommend it for young women. Would I want young women to be prostitutes? No. Is it the only thing they might be able to do to earn an education?
Okay, so yes. What you're saying is in a hypothetical situation, if that's the only choice she has, you're being very specific, but you're not being specific with Phil. He is asking you a hypothetical question, and I think that...
Would I recommend it for my own daughter? The answer is, of course not.
No. Right. Well, yeah. Who would? Would a poor woman recommend it for her daughter?
I think it's better for a woman. Well, I don't know you, but I would say, for instance, between you and I would say it might be good for you and your daughter. But it's not going to be good for my daughter, and I don't think Phil
because
is fair.
Wait a minute.
Means what you're not being clear. You're saying for poor chicks, do it, which I don't agree with.
No, I don't.
You're saying
that.
For
I'm
rich
saying,
chicks who don't need to do it, don't do it.
I said, still ask, would I recommend it for my own daughter? I said, that's very unfair. I'm a media figure, and you're not supposed to ask me that question.
I think you asked a hypothetical question, and it is fair.
But what you also said, Margaret, is Kate here, it would be good for Kate and her daughter, but not you.
I don't know Kate, but I'm suspecting that she doesn't make as much money as I do, yes.
She doesn't what?
I don't know you, Kate, but I'm suspecting that your daughter, it might be a good way for her to go because you don't have as much money as I do.
Right. Well, fortunately, I don't have a daughter. I don't have a son. I'm
but
a single woman, but I have friends and sisters with children. And
all right. What about you?
Well, what are you saying now? That she should... See, Margaret, we can say,
Well, I'm just saying for you...
What about you, Margaret?
I'm married to a very wealthy man.
All right, 877, you're married to a very wealthy man, so you don't have to, but Kate, no, because she's not married to Frank. 877-876-PHIL.
So, okay, if I could interrupt you. I don't know a lot of women that could be married to Frank. I think I'm the only one.
All right, great. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Kathy now. Hi, Kathy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead.
Well, can I make one comment first to the lady?
Go ahead.
I think she's absolutely nuts. I don't care how much money she has. I don't care who she's married to. I don't care if she's Oprah's cousin. All I know is that lady is completely
Oprah's
bonkers.
Cousin? Who is Oprah's cousin?
She said Oprah's cousin.
You said Oprah's cousin.
I said, no. I don't care if you would be her cousin. I'm trying to tell you, you need to take some of that money that you got and get a psychiatrist. I have got three kids that was in the military, and I have got one son that's still in it. We never had a lot of money, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to sit there and you're going to say it's okay.
Blue military.
If you're going to sit there and you say it's okay for a teacher to come up and... Excuse me?
I'm listening to you.
Okay. It's not right at all what you said. To have a prostitute to come in to start being a teacher is absolutely wrong. Because you are not setting a good example for these kids. Or anything whatsoever. There are so many teachers now that's going with the young kids and everything else, and it's uncalled for.
Oprah Winfrey.
And whatsoever. And as far as I'm concerned,
what?
As far as I'm concerned, I don't understand one bit of what you say is okay for a prostitute to come in to be a teacher.
Your name is Kathy, right? I think, Kathy, that if your daughter can avail herself of a large amount of money by being a prostitute, I'm not going to judge her. If you can avail yourself of a large amount of money by being a prostitute, I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to say to you, good for you, you've survived. Because who am I to judge you? If, on the other hand, you were to say to me, what about your daughter, Margaret? I would say that again, and I'll cut your throat. That's just the way I am. Well, do you understand what I mean?
What you need to do is stop, like, you act like that you're so better than everybody else is what you're trying to say on this radio. And
No. I'm not saying I'm better. Let her finish.
Let the lady finish.
You have been talking so much to where everybody wants to puke, okay? What you need to do is be quiet and let somebody else tell you. Okay, this is the facts of it right here. There is so many people that are sitting there and upholding these people to do that, and I don't have a lot of money, and I didn't have to have people coming up and say, okay, your daughter needs to be a prostitute. My daughter would never do that because she has self-esteem about herself, and she has respect for herself. You don't have to have a lot of money to have respect for yourself or whatsoever, and I don't care.
Would you recommend it for any woman? Would you recommend being a prostitute for your sister?
Are you crazy? Let's talk about out of your mind. Let's talk about this. Do you know there's AIDS and syphilis and everything else out in this world, and you're sitting
well,
there and
I
trying
think
to
it's
let
overblown.
These kids, do you have any idea what you're trying to tell these teenage kids?
Kathy, may I tell you something? My husband, who I love very much, suffers from a degenerative disease as the result of a sexually transmitted disease.
Then why are you saying it's okay to be a prostitute?
Because we live in a day and age now where we have super drugs that can destroy every virus.
Look, it does not matter.
Did you hear that? My husband is so sick.
My husband is so sick that he knows that you're a woman. He's listening to you on the radio, but he refers to you as a he because he's gender confused.
All right, let's not confuse. Let's not talk to the lady about that. She's not going to understand that, okay?
Well, the point that I'm making to Kathy, though, is wouldn't she recommend prostitution for, isn't there a woman she could think of?
As a what?
Enough said. All right, case closed.
Yeah, in other words, Kathy can't think of anybody. Kathy, thank you very much for your call.
Wait a minute, I want to talk to Kathy.
Kathy, are you there?
Yes.
Are you there, dear? Frank, did you want
to? I want to talk to him, yeah. Kathy, this is Frank Gray. I'm Margaret's husband.
Okay.
I have a disease.
Okay.
Now, Mr. Hendry was talking, and she said that she felt it was not right for Margaret to say other women's daughters should be prostitutes. Now, I married my wife 40 years ago. He's the best wife any man could have. I love him. And I love my son, and she just turned 10. What I'm saying is, as a mother that loves his children, would you ever become a prostitute?
Absolutely not. That is so wrong. And wait a minute, ask me a question. I'm trying to answer yours.
I asked him a question, yes. So I did.
Okay. What you need to do and what she needs to do, I don't know what kind of lifestyle. I don't care how much money you have, period. She needs to stop saying and bragging about how much money you have. I don't care if you're president of the United States. You cannot sit there and upgrade and say it's okay to be a prostitute. You cannot tell these people to get out here and be a prostitute. What are you going to do if as a teenager is listening to you right now and 13 or 14 years old and all of a sudden says, okay, I listened to the radio, and this rich family said it's okay to go be a prostitute. And then they go to Nashville, or they go anywhere in the United States and run away from home and be a prostitute.
Yeah, but my wife said it wouldn't be good for a rich kid.
It does not matter. Rich or poor, there's a teenager out here somewhere is going to be listening exactly what your wife said. And I don't care what she tries to say, but she absolutely sit there and said enough.
I want to say something right now.
Let me finish.
I want to say to any teenager listening, if you want to be a prostitute, you go ahead and be a prostitute.
No, let me finish.
Let him finish.
Let him finish,
and you can talk later.
And then we got to get going.
These teenagers are going to sit there and listen to that. And what are y'all going to do? How are y'all going to feel if a teenager winds up getting killed on account of what you just said? Because they're going to say it was okay.
Kathy, hold on for just a minute.
Yes.
I was trying to listen to this woman talk, and you were talking in the background.
No, Frank, not the face, please. No.
Shut your mouth. Go ahead, Kathy.
What did you just do?
That's none of your business.
Did you just strike that woman?
That's none of your business, pal. I listen to it all day long. I'm
yes,
trying
sir.
To talk
hey,
to...
Hey, just hit that lady.
No, I did not. Let me say something to you, Kathy. Your husband, does she ever hit you?
Well, let's say, sir, I'm going to tell you one thing. My husband...
Well, your husband, does she ever hit you?
He has never, ever, ever hit me. And if
I had...
What?
Are you married to a woman? You just said he...
What are you talking about?
Okay, what is it with you, man, and the gender confusion?
You split my lip.
Yeah, watch this.
Right.
Yeah, see, that's how you handle that problem. Now, his big mouth got him into trouble tonight. And
you know what, Mr. Gray, I want you to hang on the line, because I think I might want you to talk to somebody, like a cop. Kathy, thank you very much. We got to take a break. You've been very kind. 877, I didn't hear anything from Kathy. She must be stunned, and I don't blame her. 877-876-PHIL. Why does my arm hurt after Frank hit his wife? I don't understand. It's weird. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Frank, you'll pay. You'll pay dearly.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Doing that.
Welcome back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I want to get this straight, Margaret. We're talking about Melissa Petro, a former prostitute, who is now a school teacher in New York City, but Mayor Bloomberg wants her yanked from the classroom because she wrote a blog about it. Did your husband just smack you or not?
No, he didn't hit me, Phil. Frank thinks that he can bully me. And so sometimes I'll scare him and say, oh, please don't hit me, Frank. Because he thinks he's some sort of, keeper of the castle. But I can tell you that Frank Gray, my husband, who I love deeply, Frank knows that he does not come near me without consequences to be paid that are absolute. So
then why would you say, please don't hit me, Frank?
Because I want women out there listening to know that I know how to control my man.
All right, 877.
What do you mean, all right? Is like, what, am I not making sense?
Not really, but I mean, that is between you two. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Sal in Boston. Go ahead, Sal, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I'm, I just wanted to call up and say that I think that she's a little hypocritical, only in that, while I understand what she's trying to say, the idea that she would recommend this to someone else's daughter, but yet would lash out so vehemently at someone who suggested the same thing to her is hypocritical. You know, they wouldn't know her daughter's circumstances, so if they made that recommendation, just the fact that she would lash out shows to me that she really is not saying what she really feels.
Well, no, I'm simply saying that this woman, Melissa Petro in New York, is to be looked up to as a woman of great strength, and I think a woman of determination. A prostitute? Yes. Is that necessarily bad? No. Would it be for my daughter? Yes, it would. I have a family name. I'm known in the media. You can't have a daughter of Margaret Gray's some kind of glorified slut. When you ask me about another person's daughter, toss a coin in the air, I'd say it would be good for her. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
just the fact that you use words like slut, to me, shows that you have no respect for that type of work anyway. So for you to say that you have respect for what she did, to me,
I do have respect.
You're using words that contradict each other.
Do you have a daughter? If I was talking to your daughter and she said, I don't know, what do you think? I'd say, try it. Who knows? If I was talking to my own daughter and someone said that to her, I'd cut their throat.
Well, that's what this guy's saying.
That's what the man's. You say that it's okay to, for you to say it to others, but nobody better say it to you for fear of having their throat cut. To me, you're a hypocrite, and just your choice of words to describe a girl who does sexual work, you know, you call her a slut. You know, I mean, doesn't sound like you have any respect for me.
I have a great deal of respect for women that have the temerity to do that.
Then why do you choose to degrade them? To denigrate them by calling them sluts?
Well, that's what they are. I what else can I call them? They're diseased. They're sluts.
Cannot say that you have respect for someone and denigrate them in the same sense.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
When I met with Meg Whitman on June 20, 2009.
This lady has been hanging over 20 years. This year we put a different dress on.
It was pure shock. I was just, that's all you can say.
Oh, be a wide hunk.
No, Phil, get off me.
Oh, man, it's miserable.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. Now we'll go through the looking glass and beyond to do what we got to do, man. And what we do, no other talk show can. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. You can join us online at philhendryshow.com. You can watch us as we perform our show every night at philhendryshow.com by tuning into our video cast. And if you're mobile, if you're out with your Android or your Evo phone, you can watch us online mobile, too. So check us out either on demand or live streaming video at philhendryshow.com. Now, this is Halloween, and we have Professor Clayton. All right, I'm going to get Professor Emery Clayton up here in just a moment from L.A. Canyon College. He's going to be talking to us about this time of year. It's Halloween, and something has occurred. I remember when Halloween, the big controversy around Halloween was, are those little tattoo strips, are they soaked in LSD? Then, of course, the controversy around Halloween was, are the candies spiked with poison? Have they put a razor blade in an apple? And, you know, these different kinds of controversies around Halloween. Now, it seems like every year we got the problem with the hanging mannequin or the lynched mannequin. And joining us online is Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College. Professor Clayton, it's an interesting evolution, isn't it?
Well, that's what makes society, I think, Phil, that's what makes society, I think, very interesting, and that is how people change and how these celebrations, these different cultural affectations, if you will, whether they're coming to us from many, many, many years ago. And, you know, Halloween is a festival, if you will, that comes to us from Europe by way of Ireland. The jack-o'-lantern is an Irish tradition, and jack-o'-lantern was apparently some kind of a mythic figure that was known in old Ireland. The idea of giving candy to children, this became very popular in the early part of the 20th century. So Halloween has varying roots in different places in American society and beyond in European society.
What about the controversy, though, Professor, having to do with these mannequins? Now, the latest one, and I'm going to play a little bit of audio here, is from Apopka, Florida. And this has to do with a mannequin that the individual who has this mannequin decorating their property says is not racial at all. It's a skeleton dressed in a frilly pink dress, and it hangs from a noose at Kathy's Produce roadside stand in Apopka, Florida. And for some, it's an effigy of a hanging black woman because the skin on the mask that it's wearing is dark-colored. For others, it's just a dark-colored rubber monster mask. But Kathy Pryor has kept it up. She says it's Halloween, and I love Halloween.
Well, I think that there's a level of insensitivity. See, I think that if someone was to say, if I were an individual, someone was to say to me, you know, you have, if I were a white man and someone said to me, you have something in your yard, you have a something that you have put on display at this time of year, which, and let's remember that Halloween is for children. Halloween is a celebration for children. It's not a it's not a celebration for adults, grown adults.
Well, there's a lot of adults that kind of like the ghost story aspect.
Well, they may like the ghost story. They may like. There's a lot of adults that like a lot of things. There are a lot of adults that act like children. There are a lot of adults that act like infants. There's no question that there are a lot of adults that probably like Halloween as much as a child does. But the fact of the matter is, it's a celebration for a child. And the little children go door to door and they have their, you know, their bags and they get their candy. Now, if a man said to me, you have something in your yard that is offending me. I'm a black man. You're a white man. Would you take that down, please? I would have no problem. I would have no problem in saying to that man, I want to be a good neighbor. And I'm going to take that effigy down off that tree because it's misinterpreted, and that's not the point of me putting that up there. My point is to have some fun. And if someone is frightened or is otherwise distracted in a negative way by something that I have put in my yard during a festive time of year, that is, to wit, Halloween, then I'm going to take that down. But if I say to a man, Ben said to me, he's a black man, I'm a white man, you got that effigy hanging there, and I say, well, you know what, you're just going to have to live with that because that's not what that means. That means something else. And there is tension now created between he and I. Whether or not he's right or wrong, what have I done? I'm digging my heels in. I would be very suspicious of a man like that. And
do you have decorations in your yard?
We have a Halloween decorate. My wife likes to do it. My son comes home from college at that part of October this year especially. And so my son and my wife like to do the yard.
And what do you guys, what do you decorate?
Oh, we put up the things that you put up for the children. You know, we've got a tombstone and we have a hanging, you know, we hang a man from a tree. And
what, if you don't mind me asking, it's going to sound stupid, but what color is the man you hang from the tree?
I think it's a white man. White man hanging from a tree.
And what if somebody said to you, that offends me, that's racist? You're black.
Yes, I'm a black, but hold on for just a minute.
You're a black man, and now you've got an effigy of a white guy hanging from your tree.
Yeah, but hold on. Me hanging a white man from a tree is acceptable, and it's acceptable Halloween art. Because that is a fantasy. That is more of a fantasy than it is a reality. A black man with a white man hanging from a tree in his yard, that is an other world fantasy. That's not going to happen. That never did happen, you know.
And so you're telling me that a black man hanging from a tree in a white man's yard...
That is an echo from the past. That's a reality. That's a reality, see. And so, just to anticipate you, Phil, because I think I know where you're going with this, and I don't appreciate it, because I think what you're trying to do is stir up something that don't need to be stirred up.
No, I'm just asking you. I asked you if you had decorations. You said yes, and you said you had something hanging from the tree.
Well, you know that we have. I've told you that we hang effigy from the tree.
No, I had no idea.
Well, I thought I had told you that, and if I hadn't told you, then... But the fact is, yes, that's a common... decoration we use. We have a white man hanging from a tree only because it's a dead man, you know. And
well, all right. So, what does that man hanging from the tree represent?
It's a dead man. It's a spooky, scary dead man hanging from a tree, and his ghost may come out and scare the hell out of you. You know, I don't know. Ask my wife. But it's just a dead man.
But a black guy. So there is there's a double standard here, and we've been dealing with that tonight. On the one hand, there's a white woman who's got a black effigy hanging from her tree.
No, there's no double standard at all. That woman...
No, this lady has a black effigy that they're called... Do you consider that racist?
Of course it is.
Why?
Why? It's racist because that woman has... she's got a black woman hanging, dangling from a tree as if to say... Take a look.
Remember them days, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know if the lady's racist. She may not be, but fact is, what she's got hanging from a tree represents racism. What I have hanging from my tree represents a hallucination. It ain't got nothing to do with reality.
A black man hanging from a tree does, but a white man hanging from a tree...
In a black man's yard. There are plenty of white men that hung from trees back in the 19th century when they were hanging, horse thieves, and they were hanging all of these people. Now, that was going on. But you ain't going to find one hanging in a black man's yard, that's for sure.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number on the Phil Hendry Show. We're talking about mannequins, these black mannequins that hang from trees, or white mannequins that hang from trees at Christmas or at Halloween time. Here is one of the individuals involved here. This is Apopka resident, one of the Apopka residents speaking with Channel 2 at Orlando, and they do not like this display, this mannequin hanging from this tree.
It is very offensive to me. I mean, if you go back to the lynching of way back, they're lynching.
I think they should be made to take it down. It's not right.
Here is the manager of the stand, Kathy's Produce, Charlie Pennington, defending the decoration.
This lady has been hanging over 20 years. This year we put a different dress on her. Same mask, same hair. And there's never been a problem. It's not a brown mask. It's not a black mask. It was a white mask, and it's turned gray now. So, ever how they want to take it, it's them.
What do you think?
Oh, that's a load. And that man there, that white man there, lying. It never was a problem because nobody brought it up. Now people bring it up, now it's a problem, see? But I don't know why those people with their fruit and vegetable stand, they don't take that down. You know, I don't know. Somebody got a fruit and vegetable stand, you're trying to sell fruit and vegetable. And that means a vegetable or fruit is something hanging from a tree, not a black woman.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Emery Clayton here on the Phil Hendry Show about the Halloween decoration or racial statement. Lynched mannequin decoration is called racist. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Professor Emery Clayton with us as we talk about Halloween and the hanging of effigies from trees, some of which are black and are protested by black people as looking like lynchings. And you have said, Dr. Emery, that you have one in your yard. It's a white man, which is not racist.
Let me, if I could clear it up, Phil, because we had a problem here not too long ago. We had some Wiccan. These are witch people who believe in witchcraft, the Wiccan, the ancient so-called religion. And one of my neighbors had a witch that he had tied to a stake like she was going to be burned. And this was a Halloween decoration. And these fools come around. Now, I'm not going to knock someone's religion, but you have to understand something. You can't just say, I'm a Wiccan and I don't like that witch in your front yard. That's jackass. It's what I call jackass. That's just jackass. Man, it's Halloween, you're going to have a witch in your front yard. If a Wiccan come along and say, you can't have that witch, that's just a jackass move. Now, I'm a black man. I've got a white man hanging from a tree in my yard. That doesn't mean that I hate white people. That's what a dead man looked like on Halloween. He looked like a white man. They are a white man is a generic dead man on Halloween. That's generic. A black man is racist. That's racism. Now, let me just say one...
Then I got some calls to take.
All right, let me just say this. If I'm white and I got a white man hanging from a tree, that's not going to be racist. That's just a white man, a generic dead man. If I'm black and I got a black man hanging from a tree, that ain't racist either. That is a generic dead man for a black man. If I'm black and I've got a white man hanging from a tree, that ain't racist because that's the dead man that I've been told by society I get to hang from a tree. But if I'm a white man and I got a black man hanging from a tree, that's racist. That's why that Kathy Produce, or whoever this man, this gentleman was they spoke with, he need to get that black mannequin down now. because he got a black woman hanging from a tree in front of his pineapple stand or whatever he... I don't even know what these people are doing. They got a what?
I'm sorry?
What is it? What's the business?
It's a roadside vegetable stand.
A roadside vegetable stand. What's that supposed to be? Some kind of a joke?
Well, no, I'm sure you've seen we have them everywhere in California, all over the country, these roadside stands where they sell vegetables.
Well, it might be a roadside stand that looks normal to you and to other people, but I see a black man hanging from a tree near something like that. It looked to me like they're having themselves some kind of a church social.
No. This is a stand where they sell fruits and vegetables, and it happened to be also a part of the Halloween decorations they've got. Let's go to Mary in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Mary. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello. How are you this evening?
Just good, ma'am. Thank you.
Other than the crazies you got on your show, I think that man is so racist. I just don't understand why he thinks it's okay to hang a white man, but it's not okay to hang a black man.
You don't hear too good, do you? That lady don't hear too good, do she?
You there, Mary?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, I didn't say hang a white man, did I? I said hang a dummy, a white dummy.
Okay, what's the difference in a white dummy or a black dummy?
A white dummy, first of all, you called me crazy. I ain't called you a name. I could have called you some old bag. I didn't say that, did I?
Okay, so answer
all right, let's forget about that, okay?
I'll answer the question, but she doesn't come on here calling me a name and expecting me to have a conversation with her. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand. Let's just get past that.
Because I'm a gentleman, I'll get past it. The difference
okay,
is this.
Okay, could you answer my question now?
The difference is this. A white dummy is a generic symbol of a dead man. That's just what a dead man is on Halloween. A white dummy. A black
and
dummy hanging from a tree represents rip. I live in America. Every Halloween, you see it. What color was Frankenstein? White. What color is Dracula? White. What color is Casper the Friendly Ghost?
Excuse me,
white.
What color is
Blackula? What color? What color? Blackula? When do you ever go see Blackula? You ain't got... That's got nothing to do with you. So the fact is that white is a generic color for all these ghouls and goblins and what have you. Now, a black man hanging from a tree, that's a whole different ball game. That is a black man.
You
talking about Blackula. Well, you get tired of it because your family was probably heavy into it. And you talking about Blackula. Where'd you ever see Blackula?
When I was 16, 17, that's when the movie come out.
Well, you didn't go see it because your folks wouldn't let you go around that many black people, would they?
Oh, come on, will ya?
She's coming on.
With them.
I'll bet you did grow up right with them. You know
that's
something,
right.
Mary? I've seen you coming three blocks off. Let me just say this. You can hang any kind of effigy you want, black, white, pink, whatever, but you ain't never going to get me to believe that Dracula was a black man.
She's talking about that.
No, I know what she's talking about. Dracula was white. Come from a white country.
All right. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show here, talking to Emery Clayton. All right, so now that we have you, what you call a generic white man, but you're having here...
No, I said a generic dead man.
All right. What you're having here is a conversation about these dummies hanging from trees, in which you're saying something entirely different. The generic dead man... is a white man, you see. The generic dead man is a white man, right?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. And so when you see a ghoul or a goblin, that's a white man. If I got a white man hanging from a tree in my yard, that's a white man. If I got a If I got a ghoul or a goblin hanging from a tree in my yard, that's going to be a white man. If you ever saw, and I don't know if you saw the movie, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
All right. Did you see any black people in that? Did you see any black people in Lord of the Rings?
No, I did not.
All right. Because there weren't no black people. When it comes to ghouls and goblins and weird asses like that, anything weird, that's all white. So it's a fantasia. When it comes to reality and the reality of a dead man hanging from a tree, there's only one symbol for that, and that's a black man.
And well, you're not saying that, that white people haven't been hung.
I'm not saying white people haven't been hung, but I'm saying to you, nobody is going to look at that and say, oh, that's racist because he got a dead white man hanging from a tree. They're going to say that's Halloween, that's ghouls, goblins. That's all jacked up. But they ain't never going to see what that lady was saying.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. It's the Phil Hendry Show. More of your calls from Professor Emery Clayton. For Professor Emery Clayton, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Professor Emery Clayton, and we're talking about Halloween. And every year, it's the hanging effigies. Now, you got a white effigy in your yard, and I understand the point that you were making, but it seems like everybody is getting really touchy about race. Is it possible that the black folks are touchy when it comes to some of these effigies?
Let me ask you a question. What do you mean touchy?
Well, that guy said that it was a mask that had been white and turned gray.
Well, he might have said a lot of things, and some of them might be true, but I'm asking you a question. See, that white lady I just talked to says she's so tired of this, tired of that. That cracker, let me tell
you. Well, you got to call people cracker.
Well, I call them what they are. That old woman is, that old lady is getting sick and tired of this, sick and tired of that. She's probably sick and tired of being reminded what her family made its money in. That is, packing people onto slave ships. And
all right, let's not talk about personalities. Let's talk about the issue.
The issue is this. The issue is this. All right? If I say to you, just like you were talking to me, look at that dummy that you got in your yard and is offending me, why don't you take that thing down? And say, well, why? Because it looks like it's a black man. I'll take it down. But what's this produce stand where they're selling God knows what on that produce stand? They got berries and apples and oranges and everything else that they're selling on that produce stand. What are they doing hanging a dummy of a black woman, even if it ain't a black woman? If somebody come up to them and say, I don't like that, why don't you take that down? Can you answer that?
Well, I mean, it's something. He said they've been doing it for 20 years.
He's got people walking up to his stand and saying, that looked to me like a black woman hanging from a tree. I don't care if it is Halloween. That offends me. Why don't you take that down? This guy's in business. You understand that, right? This guy, this Kathy's Produce, is that a guy or is that a woman?
It's a woman, Kathy's Produce, the owner.
Well, who's this Chad Pennington? I thought that guy, I swear to God, I thought he was a quarterback for the New York Jets.
No, it's not Chad Pennington. The man's name is Pennington.
All right, well, who is that?
I guess he's the manager.
All right. You know, years ago, Martin Luther King put together an economic boycott, basically said, all right, black people are not going to ride the bus, they're not going to go into supermarkets, they're not going to go into department stores, they're not going to go anyplace. And guess what happened? All them people suddenly started to change their tune. Well, the same thing is true with Kathy's Produce. All they have to do is say, hey, we ain't going to be shopping at Kathy's Produce no more. We're not going to go and eat at her store or at her fruit stand if she don't take down that dummy.
Well, it's only once a year, though, you know. And
every Halloween, Phil, we got to put up with some black dummy hanging from a tree, and when you go up to the dumb cracker that hung it there, and you say, would you mind taking that down, because that's offensive, that stupid you-know-what is digging in his heels and saying, oh, it's not offensive to me. I think it looks just perfectly fine, like that one guy that had the monkey sitting there in his store, and that's supposed to be Barack Obama. It ain't isolated. I guarantee before Halloween, we see more of these kinds of stories. We got all kinds of black dummies hanging from all kinds of trees. So, what I would say is this. If I got a white dummy hanging from a tree, that, you know, let's get the black dummies down. Then we'll talk about the white dummy.
Well, what do you even got that thing hanging in a tree for? That's, you know.
That's my wife and my son. They want to have that thing up there. That's their business, you know. I don't know. But I can tell you.
Have you talked to your wife about that?
No, I haven't talked to her about that. I mean, my son said to me, hey, Dad, how come we got a white dummy hanging from a tree? I said, it looks normal to me. You know.
You haven't had any white people come by and say that it looks racist?
Let me tell you why they haven't. Because they don't know who lives in this house. Now, I have one neighbor, and knows I'm a black man. He knows I live here. He came over, he said, what you got that white? I said, mind your own business, Effie. This guy is some old jerk. But the rest of the people come by, if they knew a black man lived here, yeah, they'd say they'd have a big problem with it. But because they think a white man lives in this house, they don't care about the white dummy. You understand what I'm saying? It's all right to have a black dummy if you're a black man. It's all right to have a white dummy if you're a white man. It's okay to have a white dummy if you're a black man. But if you got a black dummy and you're a white man, you dead. You understand that, right?
No, I no, I don't.
I think many people use these kinds of decorations knowing they're racist. It's a subtle reminder to me and my brothers and sisters that, you know, the white man think he's in charge, which he ain't. Only a dumbass would probably believe something like that anyway.
All right. Well, Professor, it's been good talking with you, and it's always great to get your point of view. That having been said, it's a pretty radical point of view, and it's a pretty militant point of view. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back. Geez, we got a whole hour and 15 minutes. Professor Clayton was getting on my nerves. I don't want to keep listening to him haranguing crap, you know?
Yeah, well, he's talking about real stuff, though, about being a black man.
Yeah, I've heard his pitch. Oh, I can have a white guy hanging from my tree, but he can't, you know. So
yeah, what'd you hang up on for?
Because he bored me, to be honest with you. California governor's race upended by immigrant maid. That's the headline. I don't know whether or not you guys have been listening to this story about Meg Whitman. She's running for governor of the state of California. And guess what? We got ourselves another problem. We have somebody else who allegedly, apparently, maybe, could be hired someone who is an illegal immigrant as a housekeeper. Now, you do have to keep up appearances if you are anti-immigration, or not anti-immigration so much as you are anti-illegal immigration. Maybe you believe in a pathway to citizenship. If Meg Whitman believes in the so-called pathway to citizenship, which is that illegal immigrants can stay in this country if they learn English, pay a fine, and get in line to become United States citizens, then we have them documented per se, and they become, they are part of a process. And you could argue, if that was your stand politically, you could argue, hey, sure, I had an illegal working in my house, but I believe in giving those guys a pathway to citizenship. Meg Whitman's campaign for governor was thrown into turmoil as the Republicans sought to fend off new evidence that she knowingly had an illegal immigrant housekeeper on her payroll for nearly a decade. Whitman denounced the allegation as a baseless smear attack by Democratic challenger Jerry Brown in what has become a dead heat race 5 weeks before the election. I can't believe it. I ain't saying that Meg Whitman is any great shakes. I can't believe that Californians are still thinking about Jerry Brown as a governor. The central issue is whether Whitman knew about a letter that the Social Security Administration sent her in 2003 that raised discrepancies about the housekeeper's documents, a possible tip-off that she could be illegal. The letter is the foundation for claims by former maid Nikki Diaz-Santillan that Whitman and her husband knew for years she was in the U.S. illegally but kept her on the... For 2 days, Whitman forcefully denied receiving any such letter and said she fired the $23-an-hour housekeeper last year immediately after learning she was illegal. But Whitman's husband changed course Thursday, today, after a letter surfaced with what appeared to be his handwriting, forcing him to say he may have been aware of the correspondence back in 2003. That's 6 years before the year that they fired this woman. Here is Nikki Diaz-Santillan, is her name, claiming today that Meg Whitman and her husband knew she was an illegal immigrant when she was hired.
When I met with Meg Whitman on June 20, 2009, I asked her for her assistance, and I explained to her why I came here to the United States. I told her that she knew that, and I don't have papers to work here, and I need her help. I want her to help me get an immigration attorney. Miss Whitman just laughed and turned her face to one side.
Excuse me, but that sounds to me like somebody from Brown's campaign got a hold of that woman, propped her in front of a camera. That's right, yeah, go ahead, squirt some of the tears. It sounds pretty pat, doesn't it? The woman laughed at me, the rich lady, and here I am trying to... Anyway, it may sound pat, and it might even be a setup, but the fact is, if Whitman can't explain that paperwork that goes back to 2003 with her husband's writing on it, here is Santillan saying that soon after she asked for help, she was fired.
On Wednesday, June 24, 2009, I received her call, and she told me, I talked to my lawyer, and he told me, we cannot do anything for you. She said, I cannot help you, and don't say anything to my children. I will tell them you already have a new job and that you want to go to school. And from now on, you don't know me, and I don't know you.
Wow, if that's true, wow. Was she a nanny? I'll tell my children, because I guess the kids either became attached or familiar with this lady to the point where they had to have this explained to them. Now I figured this out, and Gloria, you're a nice lady, but what did you do, man? Did you coach her? Here is Santillan's attorney, Gloria Allred. She said Whitman took advantage of the housekeeper.
Was Ms. Whitman engaging in her own form of don't ask, don't tell, so that she could continue to benefit from the work of a vulnerable an undocumented worker and exploit her while pretending that she didn't know the truth?
It's starting to stink a little bit. You know, Gloria, no offense, but when you're out there and you're saying what you're saying, you know...
What? Do you think she's, like, lying?
No. No, she ain't lying, but it's like she's turning it into a, well, a cause, as opposed to it's a serious issue. But now it sounds almost like somebody's beating a drum. Here on Fox News, Meg Whitman's asked by Neil Cavuto if she ever knew the housekeeper was illegal.
No, absolutely not. We used an employment agency to find Nikki. She filled out a 1099, showed a California driver's license. Everything was in order. We specified with the employment agent we wanted to make sure we had someone who was here legally to work in the United States. And no one was more surprised when she came to me in June of 2009 and admitted that she was here illegally and had forged the documents.
Forged? Wait, forged? What do you mean forged the documents? Now this girl, Santillan, has forged... there's a whole other thing that's being accused here. Whitman says her former housekeeper is being used by Allred.
I feel terrible for Nikki. Nikki is a wonderful individual. She was an extended part of our family for 9 years, and something has happened. She is being manipulated. This is a political gimmick, led by Gloria Allred, who is famous for this kind of stuff. It's bad, it's just politics as usual, and it's a real shame because poor Nikki, I think, I just feel terrible for her.
All right, well, that's fine, but the fact is you did can her. You say you found out she was illegal, and yet your husband says that today, with this document surfacing from the Social Security Administration with his handwriting on it, dating to 2003. All right. The husband's shift only served to intensify the uproar in this contest that until now has been focused on serious issues such as job creation, government spending, and education in a state with a $19 billion deficit and a 12.4% unemployment rate.
Yeah, you'll notice we haven't paid a lot of attention to it until now.
Right. In other words, we haven't paid any attention to it until now.
Yeah.
Now the focus is on whether the billionaire GOP nominee for governor will take a polygraph test to respond to allegations brought by a celebrity-seeking attorney and her mysterious housekeeper client. what polygraph? Who is asking her to take a polygraph test? Revelations about the illegal housekeeper have also thrown Whitman's carefully managed campaign completely off track and opened the door for Democrats to accuse her of hypocrisy. Meg Whitman is the former chief of eBay, has called for tougher sanctions against employers who hire illegal workers, and the fact that she employed an illegal immigrant maid from Mexico for 9 years could undermine her credibility. She also spent millions courting Latino voters who could play a key role in determining the outcome of the race. The housekeeper and lawyer Gloria Allred later produced a copy of the letter Thursday that they say shows Whitman's husband, Dr. Griffith Harsh III, partially filled it out and told the housekeeper to check on this. What the hell is that, man?
Some kind of document you got to fill out, and y'all didn't fill the whole thing out, I guess. But I'm not sure. Let me see. Yeah.
Well, that ain't the document. That's the story.
No, I'm just reading.
Allred said the housekeeper recognized the handwriting as belonging to Whitman's husband, and a handwriting specialist may be brought in to analyze her husband's penmanship. I think the husband's already admitted, though, hasn't he? She claims it could prove that Whitman and her husband knew years earlier that Diaz Santillan might be illegal while working at their Silicon Valley mansion. In a statement released by the campaign, Harsh said he did not recall receiving the letter, although it's possibly scratched out a note asking Diaz Santillan to follow up. He noted, however, that the letter does not say Diaz Santillan is illegal. It merely asks for more information. All right, well, that's the Meg Whitman story, man.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
California governor's race upended by immigrant maid. Man, are you going to knock me over, dude? You know, you could have knocked me over when Jerry Brown was in this race. I thought, you know, big Jerry Brown, man, who the hell wants that cat as governor again? Ain't nothing wrong with the guy necessarily. It just, you know, who... You know, I don't want to look at that guy again as governor of the state. That's all. I wouldn't want to look at George Duke Majian's face again. I don't want to look at Pete Wilson again. All those guys are from a different era, a different time. And Brown, I don't know what in the hell he was doing. I don't know what you're telling me, Jason, if this is true or not. I want you to give me a story instead of just putting lines up here that I'm supposed to read and believe. Whitman told them she wanted only legal workers. Is that right? How do I know that? The housekeeper allegedly put down a Social Security number and ID to the agency. How do I know that? You better give me some news stories that back this stuff up. I don't know that Whitman said she only wanted legal workers. She's dealing with a employment agency. And the employment agency, I'm assuming, is hiring legal workers. They're hiring illegal workers? What are they doing? You can't... You got an employment agency, and you go to the employment agency and you say, I would like to hire someone to work at my house. Now Whitman says, and I want to make sure that they're legal. So her responsibility as an employer ends there. She's going to run for governor of California. She's the head of eBay. I want someone that's legal. All right. Now, I've had nannies. We've hired nannies. We've hired nannies through employment agencies. We've hired nannies through employment agencies. And a lot of these employment agencies are run by from their own country to be in the country, you know. We go to an employment agency, and I don't ever remember asking them, and I want to make sure they're legal. Maybe call me stupid, but an employment agency with a business license, an employment agency with a business license, I assume, has got people who are legally entitled to work in the United States. Now, maybe I'm stupid. Because if we got employment agencies that are farming people out that do not have a legal right to work in the United States of America, that have their business license pulled. Now, I know what this Whitman said. Whitman says she's this chick has falsified documents. But that's Meg Whitman. That doesn't mean anything. I want to hear from the employment agency. Meg Whitman, I don't even know if she's going to tell the truth. I'm not calling the woman a liar, but I am saying she's running for governor of the state of California. And if the truth is going to sink her campaign, I don't know how readily she's going to be accessing that truth. I don't care what she's got to say.
Well, she's going to, what if she lies?
I'm going to assume she's going to lie. If there's any information that's going to sink her campaign, I'm going to have to assume she's lying. If, on the other hand, the information is that this woman falsified documents, well, then let me hear it from the employment agency and maybe even see the documents. You think I'm going to take Meg Whitman's word for it? Forget it. I wouldn't take Jerry Brown's word for it.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you take Jerry Brown, man?
I don't trust either one of those jackasses, to be perfectly honest with you. These people, man, I'm going to tell you something. They run for elected office. They lie. You catch them in a lie. And then they say, oh, well, you don't understand. You see, what happened was this, blah, 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 blah. And they've always got some excuse. It's always somebody that worked for them. It's always, well, we trusted this person. They never, ever take responsibility. They always say this. The ultimate responsibility rests with me, of course. But there were people that, you know, that's a meaningless statement to say. I take full responsibility. I trusted people. That's a meaningless statement. All right, just when you thought we wouldn't have to hear about Tiger Woods anymore, we have to hear about Tiger Woods next on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Third person voted out of Survivor Nicaragua. Jimmy Johnson.
It's very offensive to me. I mean, if you go back to the lynching of the...
Not our intention to have that happen, and unfortunately for us, it did not work out well.
I feel terrible for Nikki. Nikki is a wonderful individual.
Lesbian, your mom's a lesbian.
Boy, what a headache.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. If you don't believe me, you ought to watch our video cast. 877-876-PHIL and online at philhendryshow.com. We have live streaming video of the show, live streaming audio of the show, and we've got archives. We've got three new Classic Phil podcasts that have been posted today, as well as a podcast of a pre-show rant. And if you are just listening to the show, but you don't have a backstage pass, then you're missing actually one full hour of the show, because we do a full hour uncensored pre-show that we do on video and audio on our website, philhendryshow.com. So check it out. Now what?
Oh, I can do it later.
No, go ahead.
Well, I don't understand that lady. That lady, was she documented or not documented?
I don't know, Robert. I mean, are you talking about Whitman?
Yeah, because you said that Whitman is a liar. You said she a lying, you know, the word you use, man. I don't want to repeat it.
Well, what do you mean a lie? What did I say?
You said the C word.
Not on the air, I didn't.
No.
Well, why don't you, what are you telling people I'm talking about off the air?
You said truth. You said truth is the bitch.
Yeah. Well, all right, but look, at the point that I'm making here, we got to move on. You understand that, right?
Yeah, but no, you said truth. If you're saying truth is a bitch, you know,
I didn't say truth is a bitch. I said the name, what we use on the show, the tagline we use is truth is our bitch.
Yeah. So if truth is your bitch,
truth is our. I don't want to have to keep saying it.
But the point that I'm saying is, if that lady is an illegal worker, how come that lady, that Whitman, how come it's her fault?
Well, first of all, man, if Whitman is hiring a woman as a domestic, okay, fine. She went to a agency, and the agency said, we have just the right lady for you, and boom, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Now, Whitman says, now I want them to be legal. She specified that. Now, I'm just saying, this was 6 years ago, so this was long before she ever considered running for governor of the United States, or governor of the state of California.
You said governor of the United States, like it's the president or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Hey, well, you really caught me in that one, didn't you?
That sounded kind of funny.
All right, well, she's running for governor of California. Does that sound less funny?
Yeah.
She's running for governor of California, but 6 years ago she was not running for governor of California, so she had a woman, she had the need for a nanny or some kind of a domestic. She goes to her employment agency. She specifies, I want to make sure they're legal. The employment agency, I'm going to assume, said, oh, yes, of course, Mrs. Whitman, whatever the hell you want. And they send over this girl, this young woman, who becomes a member of the family for 6 years as she said, a member of the household. There were questions raised in 2003 from the Social Security Administration, and the husband, this Dr. Harsh, said to Nikki, Miss Santayoon, you need to check on this. There are some questions. Now, when it was found out last year that she was illegal, they fired her.
Yeah, but that doesn't say that they knew she was illegal.
Well, all right. I mean, you guys are making a point.
Yeah, see? And the other thing is, because they said you got to check on it, doesn't mean he knows she's illegal. It just means he knows that she got to check it.
Yeah. He didn't know about illegal or legal or illegal, but illegal.
Yeah, about illegal.
What are you guys... You sound like idiots.
About illegal.
But I'm talking about illegal.
Yeah, you're talking about illegal. All right, you got a point. You got a very good point. You got a very good point. So the husband said check on it, but he wasn't necessarily, you know, looking to see if the girl was legal or illegal. He was just saying you got to...
See, you just said you had a little...
What are we doing here, man? Is this some kind of a gymnastic of the mouth?
No. So go ahead, finish your point.
My point is this. If he said check on it, so yes, he was throwing the ball into the court of this domestic, this employee, saying, you got to check on this because I've got a questions. These are queries. Boom, boom, boom. Family goes along. They're assuming. Last year, you're illegal. Boom, you're fired. Okay. I think the Whitman campaign, given the way you guys have presented, I think the Whitman campaign can survive it by simply saying, here are the facts. And they need to turn it on Brown. They got to turn it back on Brown, and they got to turn it back on Gloria. As nice a lady as she is, you know.
You keep saying that, but she's a douchebag.
Well,
she is, man. You keep talking about what a nice lady she is. She's a sack of crap. Twice on Sunday.
Well, here's something here. Talking Points memo. Oh, my God. Is that O'Reilly?
Yeah.
Talking Points memo blog posted scans of the document signed by the housekeeper of the agency. She says she's a, quote, lawful permanent resident, and there are scans of a Social Security card and driver's license for the housekeeper. It's not O'Reilly's blog news site. It's called Talking Points. It's a liberal-leaning blog news site. Well, if it's a liberal-leaning blog news site, they're being very objective here because they're saying that if this girl, this young woman, said she was a lawful permanent resident, that she presented a Social Security card, that she presented a driver's license, she, by all appearances, said that she was, to this agency, a legal resident. Now, it sounds like the kind of a mistake that's made a million times in this country. It sounds like there's nothing that the Whitmans did, Meg Whitman or her husband did, that was wrong. And I think you guys bring up a good point, but... You know, Brown and Allred are going to tag team this thing, it seems like, and they're going to make them look like a horse's rear end, like the back end of a horse backing out of a stable.
Right.
So that's all we're saying, man. You were talking like Meg Whitman is a lying, no good, dirty man. The word you use, all kind of dirty words. You were the dirty word of you.
I didn't say dirty words.
Yeah, you did. You said C word.
And all right, bud, so don't beat it into the ground. I didn't, you know. What bothers me more than anything else is these people, man, who suddenly are pleading, oh, well, I didn't know. They got all the money in the world. They could hire an American if they wanted to. God knows, this is Meg Whitman, eBay. Right? Want to make sure she's legal. What are you trying to save money on? You know, there's no excuse. There's no excuse in the world for someone with that kind of money to have to cut corners. And I don't know if they're even cutting corners. At $23 an hour, I don't know whether that sounds like cutting corners to me, big time. Because I know, man, with some of these nannies and some of these domestics that are live-in or part-time live-in can charge, that ain't nothing at $23 an hour. And if you got the kind of money that Meg Whitman's got, just go out and hire someone who's an American resident.
Yeah, well, how would they know if they don't look like a Mexican?
Yeah. Oh, well, am I racial profiling?
You said racial.
Yeah, you said racial profile, okay?
And that's what I mean. On the employment agent form, they asked the woman, can you legally accept employment? And she checked yes. So this woman lied.
Yeah, you said that Meg Whitman was a lying, no good, dirty. You called her a dirty.
You know what, Robert? I get it already, okay? I already got Bud telling me.
Yeah, you said C word.
All right, I understand, man. I'm sorry, Mrs. Whitman or Mrs. Harsh or however they call you. I beg your, you know, indulgence. But I think this is a word to the wise. If you're going to go out and hire someone for a domestic job, and you got all the money that God possibly could imagine, I mean, you're the, you know, eBay, that's some good bread, just go out and hire someone nice and legal. Man, I ain't got no problem hiring people for my website.
Yeah, what if you hired an illegal Mexican?
Yeah, well, see, there you go, see? There you go. What are the odds that I'm going to hire an illegal Mexican for my website?
If you went out looking for day labor.
What do you mean go out and look for day labor? Day labor to do what, man? To post podcasts?
Yeah.
Where do I go to find a guy like that?
Well, if you go out, a lot of day labor to stand around like on a parking lot.
Oh, I get it. So in other words, there are web administrators from Mexico standing around in parking lots.
You don't know. You're laughing. It could be.
Why are you laughing now? A minute ago, you were wrong.
Because you guys are high on fumes. Oh, okay, let me drive down here to the parking lot, man. You know, I remember they used to gather in the parking lot there in Westlake Village, in that little Westlake strip mall there. And let's go down there and let's find a web administrator for day labor.
What's wrong with that?
Those cats are construction workers, man. They're laborers. They're roofers. They're framing carpenters. They're not website administrators. So there you go. I don't hire anybody illegal. I got working for me, everybody I know working for me, okay? I've worked with them in the radio business. I've worked with them. I know them. Now, that's who I hire. So why is it any different for Meg Whitman when it comes to her house and to her children and to her home and to the maintenance and care of her family? She can't find individuals that she knows and trusts?
But she's working to try to save a dollar.
Oh, well, you know what? Saving a dollar isn't everything in this world. And this is something I keep telling you guys. You know, saving money is one thing, but getting the job done right is another thing. You want to cut corners all you want and go the cheap route all you want. You can do it, man, and you wind up taking it up the giggy with a wah-wah brush.
Yeah, I guess.
Why did I go out and find a day laborer that knows how to website administer?
Good.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming up. Thanks to one company donating money to feed the children, they turned X-rated? Thanks to one company donating money to feed the children turned X-rated. We'll tell you how it happened. Wow. We'll tell you how it happened coming up next to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
No.
The gayest thing I ever heard.
Welcome back, Phil Henry Show, our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. California lawyer sues over attending all-male mountain retreat where he thought his supervisor, quote, might decide to touch his penis.
Take your stinking paws off me.
Now, what are you looking at?
Not a good drop.
Yeah, you shouldn't have used that.
Well, I used it, okay? Tell me what kind of drop I'm supposed to use?
You don't use a drop like that, man.
Well, I used the drop. I like that drop, and I'm going to use it again. California guy, it might touch his penis.
Take your stinking paws off me.
See? Oh, I see. So you're not going to laugh on purpose, huh?
I'm not that funny.
No, it's not funny, man. I mean, all intents and purposes, you've been kind of flat tonight. And that's all I'm trying to say, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much for that, man. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, I got to let you know.
Right, maybe you could let me know after the show instead of on the air and embarrass me in front of everybody. Huh?
Well, I mean, you're going to take your stinking penis off me.
That's not what it says.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't. What are you talking about, bud?
It says take your stinking paws off me.
No, but that's not what he said. He said it says take your stinking penis off of me.
That's what I thought it said.
No!
It'd be funny if it did.
Well, you know something? I put that on the air. That's my decision, and you guys have no comment on it. And no, it doesn't say what you said.
All right, man, but it would have been funny if it had said that.
Well, it doesn't say that, so it wasn't funny when I used it, so I won't use it anymore. Now, does that make you guys happy?
Not really, because you waste a lot of time talking about it.
Let me just talk about this, then. A California lawyer has sued his former employer for allegedly docking his pay after he refused to sign for a weekend-long New Warrior personal development seminar that included men disrobing and passing around a wooden phallus.
They gotta be putting me on, man.
No, they ain't putting you on. In fact, I'd like you and Robert, or you and Bud, I forget which.
I'm Robert.
Right. I want you guys to sign up for this. I want the three of us to go on this weekend.
Yeah, but... wouldn't go on a gay thing like that.
Get out of here. Just kidding. Orange County Superior Court case. Orange County Superior Court case seems like a routine labor dispute between a lawyer and his former firm, except for the salacious accusations involving a little-known, somewhat secretive nonprofit, somewhat secretive known as the Mankind Project, which seeks to redefine mature masculinity for the 21st century. Now, this article is written by Ray Sanchez of ABC News. And when he says somewhat secretive, I think that that's an editorial opinion by Mr. Sanchez. It probably is not anything they're hiding. There was that whole, what was that guy, they passing a drum around bullcrap?
I don't know.
There was some guy back in the, might have been the 90s or 80s, and guys would attend his camp and they'd pass a drum around.
Yeah, well, that's better than passing around a wooden penis.
It's not a wooden, it's a wooden phallus, which is the same thing, but it's more symbolic, shall we say. Plaintiff Stephen Eggleston.
Oh, Phil, hold on for a minute.
What?
You ever seen that picture of Hercules on the side of a mountain there in inland, and he got the big long one?
Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty funny. They made that back in way back then.
It's like they had John Holm back then.
First of all, that carving of Hercules is on the side of a hill in England. What do you mean, John Holmes?
That ain't who it is?
It's thousands of years old, man. It ain't John Holmes. It's Hercules. And it was made by Roman soldiers. And the reason why Hercules is carved into the hillside there is Hercules was revered by Roman soldiers, the Roman legionnaires. Hercules was very evidently endowed. He's got a long you-know-what, and that was the hero, the god, if you will, of the Roman soldiers. And so that was Hercules, and he's carved into the side of the mountain there. John Holmes.
Well, look like John Holmes.
2,000 years old, John Holmes, yeah. So that's what Hercules, and that's what that means. The evident masculinity, the evident whatever the hell they call it, is a part of his power. And so the Roman legionnaires that were stationed in Britain and in Great Britain at that time in history, many, 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 many thousands of years ago, well, a couple thousand years ago, that was their, you know, that was their god, if you will.
That just seemed kind of weird that a Roman legion man wanted looking at a guy with a big one.
Well, in your mind, Bud, that's what it is. A Roman legion man looking at a guy with a big one. That was a religious symbol. Not in the sense that we know religion. It was a spiritual symbol. It was meaningful to the Roman soldier at that time. That's what Hercules was. So,
yeah, talk about a soldier looking like a guy with a big one. Soldier today, they like to look at lady.
It ain't like they're gay, man. It's a different thing, man. I can't even get into it. I can't explain it. Anyway, getting back to this California lawyer suing over attending an all-male mountain retreat. The lawsuit said that this gentleman, Stephen Eggleston, after reading reports about the seminars, was understandably concerned over the possibility of sitting naked in a room with his supervising attorney who might decide to touch his penis, or that he might be required to disclose details about his sex life.
Man.
Eggleston says in the complaint that after skipping the weekend retreat, which the Mankind Project website describes as a modern male initiation and self-examination, yeah, I'll bet it is.
Yeah.
His compensation dwindled to nothing, and his supervising boss, Mr. Biznar, Joe Biznar of Biznar and Chase, I guess is the name of the law firm, became so hostile that he had to quit.
Yeah, Mr. Biznar was not able to touch him.
Then that's why he got hostile, probably.
I don't know. This is what the guy's claiming. You understand that in a lawsuit you can claim anything? You can claim anything you want in a lawsuit. That's why so many guys get worked up. A lot of women get worked up over divorces, because in a divorce proceeding, a hostile divorce proceeding, you say anything you want about the other party, and people get crazy. They don't realize, they don't understand that the judge and has seen it all before. Although, you know, I don't know. Anyway, according to the complaint, Biznar told Eggleston that he couldn't require him to attend, but repeatedly pressured him to attend. Chase, however, said Biznar had only suggested it. Chase said there was no retaliation and called the complaint a shakedown lawsuit by a disgruntled employee who failed miserably at his job. Eggleston was hired on a 6-month contract, he said, and let go because of poor performance. Mr. Biznar, who had attended and spoken at Mankind Project training sessions, routinely encouraged the firm's 30 staff members to participate in personal and professional development seminars, according to Mr. Chase. Although Biznar has encouraged him to attend, Chase said he's never participated in New Warrior training because he thinks that his partner, Mr. Biznar, is a gay freak. No, he didn't say that.
Yeah, he got to say he did.
Well, I can well see a guy saying, I ain't going to, you know, maybe he sucks at his job, and he's, hey, and another thing, you guys are freaks for wanting me to go to that thing, and let me just get the bottle out of the drawer in my desk, have another swig, and decide what I'm going to do with my future. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with that Chad Ocho Cinco. Wow.
Phil Hendry.
Ocho Cinco, Mr. 8-5, man.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
How about that? Well, the fellas. Welcome back here. Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman with me here in our news hour, and we're looking at this story. This guy, a lawyer, suing over attending all-male mountain retreat where he thought his supervisor might touch his penis. This is a guy named Stephen Eggleston, and apparently this man suing his former law firm that he worked for allegedly docking his pay after he refused to sign up for a weekend-long New Warrior personal development seminar. Now, the name of this group is, as we have just indicated, the Mankind Project, or as we indicated in our last quarter hour. Mr. Eggleston, it's a goofy group of people, and there's nothing illegal about that. And if there's nothing illegal or there's nothing actionable about a group of employees from a company going off to some goofball thing.
Yeah, but I mean, that would make me very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable.
It might make you uncomfortable. It's not, you can't, suppose me and Bud went off to the Mankind Project.
I'm not going to go into anything that is partially gay.
I'm not saying that you're gonna. I'm just using as an example. That doesn't mean that I'm asking you to go with us.
Well, what is that, like some kind of a daisy
You know, will you shut up, man, and let me talk to him?
I'm saying that it's not an actual... You can't sue me because I'm going off to the Mankind Project on the weekend.
Yeah, I know, but if you make me feel like I'm gay...
How am I going to make you feel like you're gay? What are you talking about, man?
If you go off to the Mankind Project and I feel unduly, like...
If he feels as he's been... He's unduly gay.
Yeah.
You guys don't even know what you're talking... What do you mean unduly gay? I can't make him feel gay... And that ain't what this is about.
Well, what I'm saying is, if you go to Mankind Project and I feel pressured into touching you in your private, then I will sue.
You can't feel pressured into doing that unless I pressure you into doing that, man. And I would never do that. Okay?
Yeah, but what about you going to, over and touching on the phallus?
What I'm trying to say to you is at a certain point, Robert, your prejudice is going to be the bigger issue here.
No. If you're going off to the phallus convention and...
Yeah, if you go to the phallus convention and then you come back and I feel pressure...
What do you mean the phallus convention? Are you talking about this thing?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Mace. Whatever it is I do with my private life is my business. This in America, that happens to be the case. You and Bud and everybody listening to us, whatever we do during our free time... is what we do during our free time. It may be constructive, it may be destructive, it may be boring, it may be exciting, sometimes it may even be illegal. But it is what it is. When we're here working, this is what we're doing, man. I don't bring up stuff that I'm doing. Sometimes I'll tell you guys the TV shows I'm watching.
Yeah, well, one time you told me about a TV show you was watching about a guy he got touched.
Hey, listen, bud, I'm going to haul off and smack you in about 5 seconds.
Why are you going to smack him?
Because he's making it seem like I'm watching something on Investigation Discovery about some freaking pederast that all of a sudden I'm kind of pressuring you. Are you out of your mind? What we're talking about here is this Mankind Project. Let's keep this thing on. Let's keep it on the rails, if you don't mind.
Well.
Yeah. Eggleston's lawsuit has brought unwanted attention to the Mankind Project. Now, this guy is suing because he said he felt pressured to go to this thing that he thought had some weird stuff going on. The phallus and the this and the that and the touching people and all of this jazz. He didn't dig it. Now, this agency, the legal firm he works for, John Bisnar and Brian Chase, this guy Bisnar goes to these things, Chase doesn't. These guys are two partners. They run this law firm. They have young lawyers that work for them. Bisnar goes off to the phallus convention, and Chase goes, boy, what a freak. But they're partners, and they've been profitable. Chase did say, we have yoga on Fridays. Bisnar will encourage people to go to professional seminars for trial lawyers or paralegals. He also encourages people to do personal development. He's passed out Deepak Chopra books. Oh, this guy, yeah, okay.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, now, hold on. We've had tickets to Anthony Robbins seminars. He encourages people to better themselves. Oh, you know what? These people that encourage you to better yourself, that's one thing. Passing out Deepak Chopra books. Eggleston's lawyer, Kate Hartman, denied that her client had signed a contract and said he brought more than 100 cases to the firm over 8 months. He was, quote, freaked out by what he learned about the Mankind Project over the internet and twice refused to attend the seminar, leading to problems with his boss. So he's claiming that his refusal to go to this seminar, which you guys call the Phallus Convention.
Well, I don't know. It's called a Mankind.
Yeah. He's claiming that his refusal directly led to the deterioration of relations between himself and his employers. And eventually he says, well, I don't know. They say he quit. Does he say he quit? I don't know. But nonetheless, his compensation dwindled to, quote, nothing. Now, the attorney Hartman says, the attorney for Mr. Eggleston says, I've talked to many former employees at Bisnar and Chase, and they don't know about any other seminars being offered other than this particular one. Based on the information that I have, the only seminar they've asked employees to go to, and they're very hot and heavy on it, is this new warrior training. So Mr. Eggleston said that the environment got so hostile, he had to quit.
Yeah, they're pressuring him into going off and touching people and everything like that.
We don't know what it... No, they're pressuring him to go after this thing.
Yeah, but they're sitting around with no clothes on. Are you kidding me, man? They're sitting around nude, and they got a wooden penis and everything.
What about that?
Oh, well, gee, I mean, let's arrest him. Let's send the cops in. Are you guys... what are you guys, homophobes or something? Let's suppose that's what that was. What has to be proved here is whether this guy was pressured. Anybody can do anything they want. Do you understand? Guy could go off to the New Mankind Project and have the wooden phallus and pass it around and frolic in the weeds nude. He can do anything he wants. You cannot, however, pressure another person into doing this as a stipulation of employment. Okay? Saying, you're going to get fired unless you sign up and do this and that and everything else. That becomes an actionable. Okay?
Well, that's what they're saying, though.
That's what he's saying. Now, the attorneys on the other side are saying something different. Nonetheless, his lawyer says, she says, I've talked to employees. They are not going to Deepak Chopra. There's no Anthony Robbins this. The only one they're really hot and heavy on is this new warrior training at this Mankind Project baloney. Is this California? It's got to be. Yeah, it sure is.
What do you think?
You know something, man? I lived through this stuff in the 70s. I saw it beginning in the 60s. I saw it become almost contagion and deadly in the 80s. I don't believe that California's still like this. With this jive ass.
Yeah, you said you went up to Big Sur, though, and you said you even seen that Esalen Institute and everything like that.
So what?
What are you doing going up there anyway?
Oh, well. Oh.
Yeah, but you said you went up there.
Oh, well, I must be a commie, huh? Let's call in the cops. Phil went to Big Sur.
You said you seen it.
I've seen Big Sur a million times. I hitchhiked through there.
Yeah, what are you doing up around that thing? What do they call?
The Esalen Institute. Dude, I don't go near that crap. I go to my favorite hotel up there, which I ain't saying the name of because I don't want to turn it into a mob scene.
Yeah, the Post Ranch Inn.
Will you say? Shut up! Eggleston's lawsuit has brought unwanted attention to the Mankind Project, which some men credit with helping them confront childhood traumas. The complaint said Eggleston learned about what Mankind refers to on its website as a carved wooden phallus by doing a Google search, which also yielded reports of the 2005 suicide of a 29-year-old man who shot himself 2 weeks after attending a Warrior Weekend near Houston.
What?
Carl Greiser, executive director of the Mankind Project, said the nudity is optional, comes near the end of the weekend seminar. The exercise is optional as well. There is nothing sexual about the nudity, he said, and sex and masturbation are forbidden.
How are you going to forbid that?
Just hold on, man. The primary reason for using the wooden phallus is to help men deal with sexual shame, Greiser said. In our culture, where sex is so charged, the fact that we do this is something that a lot of people are really uncomfortable about. There is so much homophobia in the culture that even the this is directed toward you guys. There's so much homophobia in the culture that even the concept of men being nude together is some context other than locker room is seen as really weird, if not crazy.
Well,
now that's the first thing the guy said that's right.
Oh, okay, so you're going to go and be nude.
Did I say I was going to go do that? Have you been nude in the locker room?
Not really.
No.
Are you kidding me? You guys both played sports. You never were nude in the locker room with guys after sports.
Well, yeah, that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's because you're taking a shower and everything.
That's the point the guy's making, though. Because you're nude with another guy doesn't mean it's sexual, is what he's trying to say. The 25-year-old project includes 35 nonprofit and charitable organizations in 7 countries, Greiser said. It operates 30 centers in the United States with the 48-hour, $650 New Warrior Training Adventure. 48 hours, $650. That ain't bad for 2 days.
Oh, yeah, that's a real deal, man. I get to, for only $650, I get to nude up.
Yeah, that's a deal, all right.
yeah, man. So when do I sign up for that, man?
Our focus is basically on teaching accountability and integrity to men. All right, so, you know, so these guys are where they are, man. But here's the thing. You can't pressure a guy into doing something they didn't want to do. Now, this Eggleston guy, his complaint refers to the wrongful death lawsuit filed against Mankind's Houston operation by the family of Michael Cinto, a recovering alcoholic who committed suicide in July 2005, 2 weeks after attending a seminar. A Houston Press story about the death quoted a letter Cinto wrote to the sheriff's office before taking his life, in which he wrote of being required to sign a confidentiality agreement, of being blindfolded and taken on tours in the nude, of naked men dancing around candles, and men revealing their sexual histories while passing a wooden phallus. Well, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, I'm going to sign up, man.
At that, where do I go to sign up for dancing in the nude?
After his death, Cinto's family discovered a list of Mankind members that included prominent local politicians and academics. Next thing you know, they're going to turn this thing into like a witch's coven. Here's a quote from Mr. Greiser, the executive director. Asked whether there is touching, Greiser said, quote, "A person can, but it is absolutely not part of the program. It's completely non-sexual, and our intention is to give men an opportunity to talk about what their experience, about their experience of the body, their physicality, and their sexuality has been." Man, I don't know about that.
I told you.
Well, it might be good for some guys, you know. And I'm not ready to damn people that experiment in, you know, ways that maybe society doesn't understand. But I am ready to damn individuals who make it a condition of someone's employment after the fact and pressure people and otherwise make it an uncomfortable environment to work in because... And this lawsuit, by the way, is based out of Orange County, but there are Mankind projects all over the country. So he said that was a hostile work environment. It's a very interesting story. And we'll get back to, you know, we'll give you more details on this goofy Cali, you know, only in Cali, man. I'm telling you.
Well,
Okay, bud, I tell you what, we'll give you a couple minutes. You can spit it out, okay?
Figure it out, man.
Coming up, a Michigan father of nearly two dozen kids with over a dozen women has been sent to jail. We'll tell you what for. This guy goes to jail because he's got two dozen kids and a dozen women. He's a good heterosexual. He's in jail, but these other guys are dancing around a camel?
Candle.
I mean a candle? We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Booty is worse than both.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here. Our website, philhendryshow.com, for everything you need. After the show, check out our show log. We have a show log posted after every show, so you know, you can keep a record of the, you know, the explosive and sometimes, I don't know.
Mentally deranged.
Mentally deranged, yeah, show that we just put on. So check it out, philhendryshow.com. After fathering 23 children, Howard Veal, who may be the biggest deadbeat dad in America, has been sentenced to 23 to 48 months in jail for failure to pay child support. Well, how about that? How about that? Kent County Judge Dennis Lieber, in my entire career, I have never seen a case like this where so much was owed to so many and ignored. I guess at some point, the courts... See, my take on child support is the following. If you're ordered by a court to pay child support, then you pay it. I don't give a damn if you don't think it's fair. If you got a lawyer, you can go back and have it lowered. As a matter of fact, the child support situation in California is as follows. They enter the father's income into a computer. They enter the mother's, you know, and it's all done by way of numbers. Nobody's looking at you and saying, boy, because you're particularly ugly, you're going to have to pay this or that. No one is saying that because you're 5'2" as opposed to 5'9", no one's saying because you're black instead of white. They enter it into a computer. Here it is. This is what you pay. Pay it. Now, in California, as opposed to Michigan, nobody goes to jail for failing to pay child support. You didn't know that, did you?
What?
No. No one. I've never heard of anybody going to jail in California for not paying child support, ever. Ever. And believe you me when I tell you this, I have had some intimate dealings on this topic. I've never heard of anybody in this state. I've never heard of one judge or DA in the state of California ever getting up off their fat ass long enough to charge anybody when it comes to child support. I've even heard of lawyers that represent women who've gone after the husbands for child support. These are the lawyers that are representing the women. I've heard of these guys making excuses for the guy they're going after. It's a real, oh, it's beautiful. And then they come up with a father's rights. You know, I don't mind father's rights. I think it's great. I think if there are men out there getting screwed by ex-wives, they can't see their kids, they're being used financially, I certainly believe and endorse any and all legal remedies to help those men. Absolutely, without question. But I'll tell you right now, if I find out that there's some scumbag, some psychopath, who, because he just doesn't want to have to pay, because he doesn't like the way she left him, because he feels humiliated, because he feels no woman leaves me kind of a thing, that guy belongs, I think a guy like that eventually is going to do it to himself, buried. So there's a big difference to me between a man who is a good father and trying to meet his responsibilities and is being messed with by the ex-wife. I understand that that happens, and that man should have the full protection of the law. I also know, though, that there are douchebags out there who, under the guise at protection of so-called father's rights, want to violate court orders, restraining orders. They want to violate temporary restraining orders. They claim to see their kids. Now, they can give a sweet damn about their kids. They want to screw with the wife, the ex-wife. Those jackasses you can see coming a mile away. And do the courts do anything about it? All too often, too late. Now, this Michigan slob accumulated a debt of more than $533,000 in child support payments, according to court records. He allegedly failed to support his children beyond a few meager payments. You are the poster child for irresponsibility, Lieber told Veal. You're an insult to every responsible father who sacrifices to provide for their children, said the judge. In the last 7 years, Veal reportedly paid less than a total of $90 for two of his children's upkeep. You know what bothers me more than anything else about this story? This is an asinine story. So there's a guy out there who owes $533,000 in child support. He's got 14 wives and 23 kids. Of course you're going to make an example out of him. Of course you're going to write a story about him, and of course you're going to report it all across the country and around the world. How about this guy with the 14 wives and the 23 kids and the Of course you're going to write about that. Of course people will be outraged. Well, what people don't do and what they don't get outraged about and what they don't write about are the overwhelming majority of people, of men who are delinquent when it comes to child support. They're not owing 533 grand, but there's enough of these guys out there that owe enough money. There's people living hand to mouth because there's guys out there stiffing their kids by not paying their child support. They don't have 14 wives. They ain't got 23 kids. They got one kid, two kids. They still ain't paying. Write some stories about that. Anyway, this guy's some slob. He's got a checkered employment history. I guess he likes women, or he hates women, or he hates kids, or he likes kids. I don't know what his problem is, but he's going to jail for a total of 48 months. $500,000 this guy owes in child support, 48 months.
Sounds like a pretty good deal to me, man.
A pretty good deal, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Yeah, you want to be the dad of 23 kids, good luck.
Yeah. Anyway, the show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Charles Wigan, and Dan Northcraft, our associate producer and screener. Until tomorrow night, or tonight, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry.